Because we were considering getting a laser, and it just seemed like the material range wasn't as extensive as we wanted. And that kind of led us towards the mill, and then we're like, oh, well, we could just buy a laser and add it on, you know. So it kind of, I guess that was pretty handy.
Welcome to the Think It, Make It podcast with your host, Eric Royer. All about turning your ideas into reality with a CNC router, tips and tricks, new products, interviews, and much, much more.
This just got exciting.
Whether you're using a CNC for business or hobby, we have great stuff in store for you.
Okay, everybody. Well, I have the pleasure of having Jack Bryan here from Sent Into Space, and want to welcome him to the podcast. And he's got some really cool things that their company is doing, and we want to hear all about that, as well as how they're using their StepCraft to do some of these awesome projects. So, Jack, welcome.
Awesome. Thanks for having me, Eric.
So. I guess what everybody's probably wondering, I know I'm wondering on the high level, like, what is Sent Into Space? Like, what is your company all about?
Well, we're kind of an Earth observation company. I think more than anything, we use high altitude balloons to take cameras and up into space to observe everything from weather patterns and data collection to do some of our more popular, like, marketing stunts some people have seen where people want to get their products up with that kind of nice, crisp, thin blue line of the atmosphere against the blackness of space. It's hard to beat that image.
So you're using balloons to send things up, but you're still within. So in other words, when it's still going to come back down, you're not shooting it literally into space where it's gone forever.
No, we're still within gravity. Earth's gravity is it's a strong one.
Okay.
So we do get our payloads back.
So what type of things do you send up, like, for clients as a business? What do you do?
We've actually sent quite a bit, and our client list is pretty broad. We've sent everything from a BB-8 model for the Star Wars Last Jedi launch, and then we've done gins, gin botanicals. There's a company here in England that makes gin from botanicals we send up into space called Moonshot Gin. We've even sent a pie into space, actually. So
a pie.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Actual pie. Yeah.
Wow. Every
day is different over here.
So people just contact you through your website and they just say, hey, we want to do a marketing promotion. Can you send my pie or whatever it is up into space? That's how it works.
Yeah, pretty much. You know, a lot of these videos, just because of the uniqueness of that view and being able to kind of get just about anything in front of a camera, you know, up with that backdrop, tends to get a lot of traction, on, you know, both online, but then people use it for in-house promotional stuff as well. So, you know, someone will have seen, oh, I saw your video of blah, 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 and we want to do that with, you know, our product. So it's been, it's definitely fun.
Well, how long have you guys been doing this?
So the company was started by our two directors, Chris and Alex, 6 years ago. While they were doing their PhDs in mechanical engineering. And I think they were really just trying to do anything besides their PhDs. And, you know, kind of found this as a unique outlet of just like, well, you know, can we send a camera up on one of these? And then, you know, ended up getting a really cool result and then kind of had a small business. And then we've kind of been growing and developing since then.
So how many employees does the company have now?
Yeah, we just broke 10. We're at 11 employees now.
Wow.
Yeah, just moved office. This is our second month in kind of our new space where we actually have room for everybody. So it's been a nice move. We're all pretty happy with the new location.
Where are you located in England exactly?
So we are in Sheffield, England. And if you kind of had to blindly pick the middle of the island, you'd be pretty close.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah, cause I know I'm here in the United States right now, but, the reason that, I was introduced to you, I guess, was you were working with, my support team here with some questions and, when one of my guys came in and he's like, you're not going to believe what, you know, who we just talked to and what they do. And I was like, okay, we've got to definitely talk to you guys because this is pretty awesome.
Yeah, there is a, you know, the support guys over there have always been pretty useful. It's always interesting kind of trying to time it so I don't email you guys at 2 a.m. over there or something. But
that's okay. I'm usually up and I would probably see it at that point anyway. Yeah, so that's – now, who did you buy your StepCraft machine from over there? Did you get it from a dealer in the U.K.?
We didn't get it from a dealer in the U.K. We actually got ours from Germany when we bought the actual kit. So we went with the 840 StepCraft 2 kit.
Okay, cool. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I want to get into a little bit about what you guys use the machine for, but I still have probably 500 questions about your business. I'm looking at your website. It's just crazy to me. Yeah. So I'm looking at ascendintospace.com, and so I see a guy on a page that you sell kits. So he's got this big balloon that he's filling up. Now, anybody can come and go to your website and buy one of these kits to do this? There's, like, no regulations or anything you have to worry about?
There are regulations. In the States, you basically work with the FAA, and it's basically just to get a clearance so that way they say to make sure that you don't launch it right next to an airport or anything like that.
Okay.
And just kind of saying, you know, I'm going to launch this balloon. Where near me can I launch from? And they usually have areas that are away from major air traffic that you can then launch from. Mm-hmm. So it's just always good to check with your aviation authorities. Certainly we have the Civil Aviation Authority over here in England.
Okay. So I know I told you before when we were talking that my background is the radio control hobby industry. So this is a little unique to me because you're essentially sending a balloon and you don't have a lot of control over where it goes or how it gets there other than straight up, right?
We have a few tricks up our sleeves, for control, but for the most part, once you let the balloon go, it's, you know, kind of out of your hands, literally. We can control the ascent rate. So how much gas you put in the balloon, mm-hmm. basically. So if it's really windy on the ground or something and you want to kind of keep the total travel distance lower, you can put in more gas on the ground. And that's going to make it go up faster, but then its initial expansion will be larger, so it won't get as high. So you kind of have some trade-offs there. And then the parachute size for when it's coming back down, obviously a bigger parachute means it's going to spend more time in the air. And if it's windy, obviously it's going to carry further. So we have some prediction software we use to kind of look at meteorological data and kind of say, give a prediction within about five miles or so, you can usually say where it's going to land. So you kind of pick a day that from one of our launch sites has a good prediction. And then from there, once you launch it, you just keep running predictions with the updated altitude, latitude, and longitude coordinates that we get in real time from the payload using radio. So right up your alley there.
Wow. So so once it's on its way back down, the parachute deploys, you're kind of, you can guesstimate where it's going to be, but there is still a chance it's going to end up in a tree or something.
We've had plenty of tree trimmers that we've had to call to get them down. Luckily the payloads are pretty robust. So they're made to take a landing. But every once in a while, you do get some in interesting locations.
So how much weight are you looking at on an average launch to take up into space with one of these balloons?
We've done as heavy as 7 to 10 kilograms, but I would say our average is probably around 2 kilograms, so about 5 pounds.
Oh, thanks for the conversion. I was just trying to do that in my head here real quick.
At 2.2.
Okay. So, and you're always, most of the time, I would guesstimate anytime you send something up, you've always got some sort of camera, like a GoPro or something going as well. But that's the whole point of the marketing aspect, right?
Sure. We have some kind of low resolution cameras we use to kind of send real time pictures back. But then we also have high resolution cameras on for either whether it be observation or just for like recording for a client.
what's your most common camera? I mean, do you use the GoPro or do you have a more expensive type platform that you're using?
It depends on the project. I mean, we love GoPros. They're pretty robust. And the new Hero 6s have been really, really performing for us. We've also sent up, everything from like DSLR and 5D cameras. Depending on kind of the needs, we can do just about anything, I like to think, as far as the camera goes.
Wow. So you send a DSLR, and do you make a custom rig to kind of support it and protect it for when it lands so it doesn't get destroyed?
Yeah. We have to, a lot of our stuff is kind of custom made, per job. So we kind of have a default tracking box that kind of keeps all of our tracking electronics in there. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, everything else we kind of have to build per job. So we would build kind of, you've got to keep it warm, especially with cameras. And then you kind of have to jimmy rig the battery to give you the enough capacity to last the whole 4-hour flight. And, then obviously protect it on landing.
So you're from launch to landing, you're about roughly 4 hours is how long it takes?
I would probably say 3, but we like to have a redundancy in there. Mm-hmm. Usually about 2 up, 1 down is a pretty good rule of thumb.
Okay. Now, so what is, if I were to buy a kit, like what are you looking at cost-wise? And is it reusable after, multiple times after you buy it?
The majority of the kit is reusable. The only thing that isn't reusable is the balloon. So we use predominantly latex balloons. They're kind of the more cost-effective, I guess, balloons. And you can probably range anywhere from a few hundred to just over 1,000, depending on the extent of kit that you're looking at. And what exactly you're looking to do with it.
Okay.
We get a lot of business from people looking to do meteorological experiments. So instead of sending up cameras, they do more like sensors or things that they're looking at, air quality testing and things. So we kind of have like a research support package almost that we can put together as well.
It's so cool. I'm looking at some of the photos on your website and it's insane. Cause that's something the average person will never see like on their own. You know, obviously airplanes don't go up that high. So it's not something you would see. It's really cool. Can we send a step craft up like a small one? Or is it too heavy?
Maybe we'd have to, we could give it a go. I mean, try anything once.
That would be pretty cool.
We can definitely get the logo up for sure.
So I see on your website, things are broken down. So you have the corporate section is where that's where people would hire you for promotions and things of that nature, correct?
Yeah. We do kind of a variety of corporate things, from everything of like, we want to promote this in space. We did something for the Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. We've worked with the Halo franchise and Microsoft and things like that. So, a lot of space themed things tend to come our way. Mm-hmm. But then also, if people want to do team building, where we'll kind of come out and help them do a launch as a thing, where they do something kind of more in-house as like a team building or creative exercise for their company also.
And what about education? I can imagine that's probably a big facet of your company as well, no?
Yeah. We, obviously a lot of us have been through quite a bit of school, so it's always nice to be able to contribute to that. And we have our Clastronauts program, mm-hmm. which is aimed more at primary, and then we do secondary schools as well, where a couple of our team will go down to the school and kind of give a presentation on the different layers of the atmosphere and the fundamentals of pressure, which is kind of what makes the balloon rise. And then we'll usually send something from the school up where, the whole school will get out and do a countdown. And a lot of times, depending on the location, we can actually launch from the school, which is really nice.
Oh, that's cool.
And so they'll come out for like an assembly and, we'll do the launch. Everybody counts down and then you send the balloon up. And then later you get the video of this, item that the school selected. We've done teddy bears with like a sweater on that has the school logo, or We had one where a bunch of kids wrote postcards, you know, to space, and they got these things back that had been, you know, 30 kilometers above the Earth's surface. So it was pretty, pretty cool.
Now, you were saying that when you send a camera up, you've got to keep it warm. Now, what is the what does the temperature get to when you get up to your maximum altitude?
It's about minus 70 Celsius up there, which it's pretty similar in Fahrenheit. I think it's minus 60 something at that point. But it gets very, very cold. And especially batteries, will, you know, cease to function if you let them get too cold. So insulation is key.
Like a DSLR camera's got mechanical components in it. So I would think that would have a real tough time when you get into that temperature range. No.
Exactly. Well, the problem is, too, if you're going up on a cloudy day where you get a little bit of mist on something and then that can freeze.
Okay.
Once you're up there. So it's kind of, definitely a technical obstacle every time we do big projects like that is, you know, protecting everything, keeping it warm and functioning.
Now, so you ended up buying a Stepcraft, and what do you use our machine for? Like, how does that integrate into your business?
Well, a lot of it is for, obviously, like we were talking about, is insulating our electronics. So we kind of have, you know, custom electronics. And so being able to mill very precisely dimensioned foam inserts out of like XPS is usually what we use. Mm-hmm. To kind of get, you know, really, really nicely dimensioned things, because you don't want to waste space or weight. So being able to use light stuff like that. We do a lot of work also with composites. So mostly fiberglass, but occasionally carbon fiber. We tend to steer away from the carbon fiber just because it's not RF transparent.
Okay.
So it'll actually kind of absorb the radio signals we send to and from the payload. So that's always something you got to look out for. We've just started playing around with aluminum now, or aluminium over here.
Aluminium, yeah.
yeah. So we've started playing around with that to kind of do some custom brackets and stuff for more of like a frame, I guess would be the best way to describe it.
Yeah. So, yeah, since you mentioned aluminium, for anybody that's listening, we had just talked about this prior. So Jack is not from the UK, in case you can't tell from his accent. So you said you're from the States.
Yeah, I'm from Colorado, actually. The western slope of Colorado, a little town called Grand Junction.
Oh, cool. So you said you're over there for a few years, huh?
Yeah, I came over to do my master's degree over here. And then when I was finishing that up, I jumped on board here doing an internship, actually. And then when I finished, they offered me a full-time position and, you know, kind of haven't looked back since.
That's awesome. So are you the one that uses the Stepcraft machine?
I guess I would say I'm the primary CNC-er.
Primary user. So yeah. What made you guys choose Stepcraft over other things that might be in the market?
I would say, you know, it was kind of a balancing act between cost and versatility. Obviously that attracted was the having the large milling platform that the 840 offers. It's basically perfect for an A1 sheet of a lot of the composite panels or other plastic panels we use. So you can mill everything in kind of one go, which is nice. But then, you know, also kind of an approachable price point for a small company was hugely that. And I guess the other thing I would say is, you know, versatility of the attachments you guys have.
Mm-hmm.
We use the hot knife and a couple of the other bits and bobs. I think that you know, being able to just kind of swap that, the main component out, and then have the CNC frame be able to run just about anything was, something we really looked into. Cause we were considering getting a laser, and it just seemed like the material range wasn't as extensive as we wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of led us towards the mill. And then we're like, oh, well, we could just buy a laser and add it on, you know. So it kind of, I guess that was pretty handy.
Have you used the StepGraph laser yet?
We haven't used the laser yet. The two that we really use the most are obviously the mill. We've got the HF spindle.
Okay.
And then we also have the hot knife for kind of just quick cuts on foam.
Oh, the hot wire cutter, yeah.
Hot wire, sorry, excuse me.
No, that's okay. Yeah, actually, if you can, I don't know if you have any pictures of anything that you can share. Maybe send me an email and I'll post them online so people can see, you know, if there's things that are non-proprietary that you could share that you've made with the machine, that would be awesome.
Yeah. I can send some shots over. I know there's a lot of panels and things that we've been cutting recently. We'd be happy to send some your way.
So what software are you using to design and do the cam?
We use Autodesk Fusion 360.
Okay.
So they have the integrated CAM CAD suite. It's just awesome. We love it, and all the rendering, and I don't know, that they just put together an amazing software package.
Yeah, it's extremely robust. We're learning it here. We use it. We're starting to use it more and more because the flexibility of the CAM has a lot of. You could do a lot of unique tool pathing with it that you can't do with some other mainstream CAD CAM programs that are out there. So it's got a little bit of a learning curve, but once you learn it, it's pretty incredible software. So that's awesome. So one of the other things that switching away from the machine for a second, we got into talking via email, I guess, a couple of weeks ago, and one of the side or branches of your business you have is Ascension. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, Ascension, I guess, I wouldn't even actually call it our idea so much as we had so many requests for it that it was just something we, you know, you have to do. And basically, we're getting a lot of inquiries about people about, hey, can you send my loved one's ashes into space? And, you know, kind of think about, well, there's no reason that we can't, you know, sure, you can give this a go. And it happened frequently enough that we kind of designated some personnel to it and created kind of a mechanism to allow, you know, us to kind of get a nice stable flow of the ashes over that backdrop of the Earth with, you know, blackness of space. And so kind of a good send-off, I guess, for the adventurer or space enthusiast or, you know, I guess anybody really, as kind of a more of a celebration of life than like a funeral or something, and kind of a nice way to do it.
Yeah, it's definitely a very unique thing. I was surprised to hear that. And as I told you, I have a friend who's looking to do the same sort of thing, but with drones. And so sure. I thought it was kind of ironic to see that you guys are definitely going a little bit higher than he would be with the drones. So that's kind of cool.
Drones are pretty popular nowadays. I know we play with quite a few over here. And, you know, it's definitely been an experience, you know, working on Ascension. And that was kind of one of my first projects coming onto the company. And it's, you know, something we're very, very proud of and I think is progressing in a really great way. And they can check out more on that at the ascensionflights.com website we've got set up.
Yeah, I'll definitely put links here as well. I'm looking at your send into space. So what is this egg? You have a latest news. Why send an egg into space? What's that all about?
Well, basically, it was kind of looking, I guess, a thought experiment about the pressure in the egg. You know, is it going to crack? Is it going to explode? Is anything going to happen?
And did it?
And well, click and find out.
yeah, but I could do that, but not if people are listening can't do that.
Yeah, that's true. the egg actually stood up really, really well. We were kind of surprised. We were hoping to pop. We recently actually popped a bottle of champagne with the pressure difference.
Wow.
That we had, and so that was kind of another cool one we've done. But we've, you know, sent up like marshmallows and things like that. You know, you got trapped air inside of something, and as you go up, that air expands. Mm-hmm. And so we were kind of expecting to see the marshmallow just blow up in size. But it actually was kind of a cold day, and it had frozen solid on the way up. So I was like, I guess you can't always predict everything.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome. It is really cool. So every day you come to work, it's got to be pretty exciting, huh? It's always something new.
Yeah, it is. It is always something new. I mean, these last couple weeks, you know, we've been kind of got some big company goals that we've been coming up on, and you know, so we've all been putting some time in here at the office. But it's good to see things progressing, and you know, like you say, it is nice kind of having a different workday than most people. You know, where you kind of come in, and some days you know exactly what you're going to do. Some days you come in and okay, drop everything. We're doing this, you know, and so it's a fun atmosphere.
So how, with regards back to StepCraft, how have you been as far as your happiness with the machine and with the support and everything? Have we been doing a good job for you?
Yeah, we're definitely happy with the machine now. We got it going. You know, with the kit, I think, you know, some of the alignment and stuff was a little tricky. But once we got it working smoothly, it's been a breeze. We went with the UCCNC software package, and it interfaces well with the computer. I know you guys at the support team have been really helpful. It's nice that instead of just getting kind of like a support response, you can actually create a conversation with somebody who replies to your inquiry, so you don't have to re-explain, you know, your issues and things like that. And then too, I mean, you know, I'll usually send you guys an email at lunchtime here, and then we'll have one by the time I'm, you know, in the evening, same day. So that's also helpful, getting prompt help when you need it.
Yeah, my team here in the U.S. is dedicated pretty hardcore to making sure that by the time they leave at the end of the day, that all of our support tickets have been answered. And you know, I know there's probably a 6-hour time difference between us and you, but so far that's seemed to help out. And of course, you've got dealers and you've got Germany as well that you can reach out to, I guess, in a more timely manner if the time zone was an issue. But I'm glad my guys were able to help you out, and glad to hear that the machine is running well. I'm anxious to see some of the things that you're cutting out with it.
Yeah, no, it's been you know, it's been a great, you know, learning experience for me. I had done, you know, some, I guess, relatively basic CNC machining, and kind of, you know, now going into milling, you know, complex parts on a pretty regular basis, and to have, you know, such a short learning curve. I think we only got our machine less than 6 months ago, and, you know, how much we've been able to progress with it in that short time is pretty cool.
Yeah, that's great to hear. So What are the future plans of sending to space? Like what's on your short and long term kind of goals? You're not going to like strap one of your employees to a balloon and send them up, are you?
Well, we're drawing short straws for that coming up. Well, we've got the big thing right now is kind of this transition we've been getting from kind of more corporate marketing stuff towards more of aerospace component testing. Mm-hmm. So obviously, for environmental testing, it's really hard to beat what we can offer, just because you're getting to the actual environment that a lot of things are going to be operating in. So for like microsats, and you know, anything really that falls a CubeSat format, about testing, whether that be, you know, electronics or communication systems or the actual materials themselves. We've been doing a really interesting research project recently with a next generation composite. It's an enforced carbon fiber that we've been working with a university over here on. And so kind of trying to expand that and kind of go more into the R&D.
Oh, that's really cool. How many kits do you guys sell? Is that a big? You don't need to give me an exact number, but I mean, from a hobbyist standpoint, is it a really popular thing? I mean, is it a surprising number, or is it a growing thing?
Yeah, it actually is kind of surprising. I mean, we did three today, so I can give that out. But we're actually looking at putting more of like a boxed kit version in a store format, where you have a box that has everything in it ready to go. And that's one of the big things we're getting ready to lay out. Actually, next week is kind of our deadline on having all of that ready to go. So you might see Sent into Space. The Astropod kit is hopefully coming to stores in UK, certainly this year. And then we'll look at expanding depending on how that goes.
Do you have customers from the U.S. and Canada as well?
Yeah, we have kind of surprisingly all over. We've sold kits. One of the kits we sold was to Turkey, actually, today. India a couple times, U.S. a few times. We've been lucky. We get to go do quite a few launches back in the U.S., actually.
Oh, that's cool.
Done some out in the Salt Flats and in Nevada and California, so it's nice over there. We're actually looking at doing a launch in Canada coming up pretty soon. We have kind of a map in the office that we color in a country every time somebody buys a kit from there. Mm-hmm. So we've got a pretty good start going.
Oh, that's great. Well, if you ever find yourself in Connecticut or New England, definitely let us know. We'll drive to meet you, especially if you're doing a launch. That would be pretty incredible to watch.
Yeah, no, we'd love to meet up. I know, there's some trade shows and things. Hopefully we might be making it over across the pond definitely a couple times this year. So if we ever end up on the East Coast, we'll definitely look you guys up.
Yeah, that would be great. Well, so if anybody wants to find out more about you, your company, where should they go?
Sentintospace.com is kind of our main hub. We just kind of transitioning over to our new site, so we're pretty excited for the revamp. And then Ascension specifically is ascensionflights.com. But then also, Matt and Tom, our creative team, do a great job on our Instagram. So if you guys want to check us out, just at Sent Into Space. It's some really beautiful shots of just, and short videos of everywhere we've launched and some of the different stuff we've been able to do. It's kind of a great once over on what we do over here.
Okay, that's awesome. Yeah, we'll definitely check that out. That's great. Well, Jack, I really appreciate you taking the time today. I know you're probably itching to get home because it's the end of your work day, but it's always good to talk to people that are using our machines, and especially with what you guys are doing. I got to say that's a first as far as applications that I've heard since I've been doing this here. So I really appreciate the time and sharing information, and I encourage everybody to go check out your website and the Instagram photos that you guys are doing. It's pretty awesome stuff.
Yeah. Thanks for talking to me. I know it's, I guess, like I said, I recognize you from the YouTube and, same back at you guys. I definitely love the Snapcraft and would recommend it.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Jack. And hopefully we'll get you on here again in the future after, maybe we could talk about sending a Snapcraft up. Who knows?
Yeah. Well, you've got my email, so.
All right. Sounds good. Well, thank you so much.
All right. Cheers, Eric. Thanks for having me.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Think It, Make It podcast. Be sure to tune in next time for more great CNC router content.